بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. ومن بعد، my brothers and sisters, the key thing is to understand how to combat and how to deal with the changes that AI directly and AI related things are bringing into our lives. The first and foremost of them is to look at social media. Social media is one of the biggest influences in our lives. Every single one of us who has a smartphone is addicted to social media without exception, including myself. And we have to keep on checking ourselves to ensure that this addiction does not become toxic. And the important thing to understand is that no addict considers his addiction or her addiction to be toxic. So the minute you say, I'm not addicted, that is the sign that you are addicted. And I don't care who you are. That is the reality. So the first thing to do is to restrict our own social media exposure. So get off every social media platform that you are on. Don't add on new ones. I feel a bit hypocritical saying this for reasons which my close friends will understand. But anyway, I still have to speak the truth, even if I'm not practicing everything that I'm preaching. Helps me to remember that I need to practice as well. So get off all social media platforms except something which is critical. And something which is critical is not Instagram, it is not X, which is erstwhile Twitter. It's not any of those. Maybe LinkedIn for a professional connection. I don't know how really valuable LinkedIn is, but anyway, maybe one chat program, either WhatsApp or Signal or Telegram or something, so that you can keep in touch with your relatives and so on, and because it gives you the option of making free telephone calls. But other than that, get off everything completely. So that's the first thing. Number two, even the program you're on, turn off notifications so it's not constantly beeping. Believe me, even if you turn them off, you still will have this overpowering urge to look at the phone, to, you know, if it's in your pocket, to pull it out and see what happened. That's the whole FOMO thing, you know, fear of missing out. So this will happen, but presumably if you keep off it long enough, then you will be able to detox. Third thing is that keep yourself separate from the phone. Don't take the phone into your bedroom. Don't bring your phone to the dining room. Don't take the phone into the masjid. Leave the phone at home. Leave the phone in your car. Don't even come into the masjid with the phone, because we have this funny thing where as soon as you've, you know, you do salam in after salah, immediately you pull the phone out. And sometimes I jokingly ask people, did you get a message to say that your salah is accepted? I mean, why are you pulling the phone out immediately after saying salam without even saying astaghfirullah, without reading Ayatul Kursi, nothing. Just pull the phone out. For what? You know, who's sending you a message? Yeah, you're getting a message to say your salah is accepted. You know, what is the issue? What's the urgency? But if it is there, it will happen. If the phone is with you, it will happen. So don't keep it. Just put it in the car. Leave it in the car. Even if you have not lived as long as I have, and you don't know a time when there was a world without these phones, believe me, that world was there, and frankly, that world was nicer than this world. So get off social media. Second thing is that anything that you get on this one chat thing you will have, you will get a lot of videos. Now, understand that there was a time when we used to say, pictures don't lie. And seeing is believing. Now, what AI has done is to turn that upside down. You can say really only pictures lie and seeing is not believing. Now, if that is the case, then there's no point in seeing. So don't watch videos. No matter who forwards you what, don't watch the videos. The other thing also is that seeing whether it is true or whether what you're seeing is true or not, it has an effect on you. It has an effect on your heart. The eyes are the doorways to the heart. That's why there is so much of emphasis in Islam about guarding our eyesight. You know, look, where do you look? Look down. This look down is not only to do with not looking at non-mahram, men and women. It is to do with a lot more than that. And today, looking at videos which depict violence, which depict bloodshed, which depict cruelty, all of this stuff, this is very, very, very harming. It's toxic. It is destructive to the heart. So please, don't watch these videos. There is nothing good that can happen out of you watching the videos. You might say, well, all these, see what they're doing in Palestine, see what they're doing here and there. And, at least when we see that, we feel for them. Believe me, don't fool yourself, right? You're not so completely dumb and your heart is not made of stone that you have to watch a video in order to feel. We know what's going on and we should feel. And the only thing that we can do positively as ordinary human beings is to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have to watch a video to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So please, don't do this to yourself. It is literally like taking a knife and chopping off pieces of your body. It is worse than that. Because as they say, as Garfield says, what is seen cannot be unseen. So it's like that. Once you see something, it has an impact on your heart. It does things. It is toxic. It's like eating poison. And this poison, there's no antidote to that. So do not watch those videos. When you're listening, don't listen to things like that. Yeah, don't watch such films. It's very, very toxic. It's really harmful. And do not do that. So shut your social media down and don't watch these videos and all that. Then the fourth, or third or fourth, whatever number it was. Then learn to differentiate. Learn to understand the information that you are being presented with. What exactly are you being presented with? When you are looking at, for example, data about the free market, what really are you looking at? When you are looking at how things are interpreted, when you read news headlines, when you read further news detail and articles and so on, what exactly are you hearing? What exactly are you reading? For that, knowledge of history is very critically important. So read history. And don't read cherry-picked history which doesn't tell you anything negative about people. This is one of my biggest complaints about how Islamic history is written, especially by Muslim scholars, by Muslim historians, which give you a very distorted picture of history. They do the opposite of what many of the Orientalists did, which is that the Orientalists and Western European historians, they tend to ignore and they tend to hide all the good that Muslim rulers and Muslim empires and Muslim times, the good that was there, and they look only at the negative. And Muslim historians and Muslim writers do the opposite. They cherry pick and they portray Muslim kings and Muslim empires and the period of Muslim dominance as some absolute heaven which was completely and totally free from everything negative. Now, both the pictures are wrong. Muslims were as human as anybody else, and Muslim rulers were as human as anyone else. And illa Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everyone is capable of making mistakes and everyone made mistakes. So therefore, it is very important if you want to, there is only one use of studying history, and that is to learn from it. And if you want to learn from history, you have to look at both the negative and the positive. When you do that, inshallah, you get to learn. So everyone, they did some, alhamdulillah, fantastically good things, and they also did something which were wrong, which were not good. And there is the key thing is, don't fall into the trap of making excuses for them and being apologetic about it and saying, oh, but you know, this and that. There's no, objectively study what happened and then say, what can I learn from what happened? That is the way to do that. Study what happened and say, what is the way, what can I learn from what happened? Right? Take the even if you want to even remove the names of the people from your study, say X did this and Y did this. If you want to do that, so that you don't fall into the trap of saying getting your emotions hooked into that. Please understand, if your emotions are hooked into your thinking, you cannot think straight. No conflict can be resolved. No matter can be understood. If emotions are hooked into that thing, you will always make mistakes. You will always be trapped into an emotional bind. So don't do that. Do not let your emotions get hooked. Look at the incidents. Look at what happened. And then do what if thinking and say, well, what if instead of what they did, what were the options, possible options available open at that time? This could have been done, that could have been done. Instead of fighting a battle, so-and-so could have sat down with so-and-so and said, look, let us resolve this matter without that over a cup of tea or something. And let us see, you know, how can we resolve this matter? Let us sit down and think. Let us work together. This was also a possibility. No matter how difficult it might seem, that is always a possibility. In the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have seen this. He practiced it and he showed us and he demonstrated to us, right? You might say, well, so-and-so harmed the other person and they were only retaliating. Well, we have the example of the Nabi Alayhi Salaam who did not retaliate, who chose not to retaliate and all the goodness that came out of it. So think about these and say, what are the other options which were available, which could have been exercised? And if that option had been exercised, what would the end result have looked like? Don't fall into the trap of saying, oh, no, but you see, if I say that, I am criticizing this person, that person, that person is so holy, I can't criticize them. We are not criticizing anybody. We are not criticizing anybody. We are looking at incidents and we are saying this incident was handled in this way. This was the result. If the incident had been handled in a different way and that way also was available to the people at the time, how can we, the result would have looked different. Now, the reason to that is that today in my life, when I look at an incident which is happening, what are the options available to me? So do I sit back instead of immediately reacting? Do I sit back and say, okay, give me a break. Give me, a half an hour. I'm going to put some things on paper and say, these are the options available to me. I can do this with this person. I can approach it in this manner or in this manner. And then you say, well, if I think it through, right? Think it through. This is the whole meaning of critical thinking or critical analysis. Think it through and say, option one, A plus B equals C. Option two, X plus Y equals Z. Option three, J plus T equals D, right? So these are the three options. Now, out of these three options, which is the best one? I'm going to do that, even if it is something which is very different from my instant or immediate reaction. I'm not going to react. I'm going to proact. I'm going to respond, not react. And if I do that response, then what will the outcome look like? Right? This is very important to do this kind of analysis. This is what will make sure that you don't get fooled. Remember, the idea is what the environment and those who run the environment, the owners, those who own you, whether you like it or not, they own you because they own your mind. They are thought steering you. They are thought steering you. They are steering your thoughts in the way they want you to vote, in the way they want you to buy this or that product, in the way they want you to think about yourself as well as about this one or that one, this group or that group. All of these thoughts are being steered in directions that the thought steerers want them to be steered. And you and I are victims of that. Right? We have become victims of that. Don't become a victim. Don't fall into that trap. Don't be a victim of that. Be proactive. Respond with thoughtfulness. Right? This is very, very important. And this is the way to deal with the onslaught of AI. Then finally, meet real people. Don't look at videos. Don't look at forwards. Don't look at Instagram. The worst possible way to learn about others is through Instagram and Facebook and anything that is in that realm, right? I'm not bashing Instagram and Facebook. I'm just saying that anything in that realm, which is virtual, you don't even know what is real. Go meet people face to face. Believe me, I have, you know, I mean, I just, like, for example, in one of the common impressions that is given to us, meaning Muslims from the Middle East and Desis and so on, is that Americans have no values, Americans have no manners. This morning, I was outside my house, I was, you know, taking something out, and my neighbor, two of my husband and wife, wonderful people, very good friend of mine, their little grandson, who is about 2 years old, he is on his little contraption, the cycle kind of thing which he's on. He sees me. He says, "Good morning, Mr. Big." Now, I was absolutely flabbergasted. I said, "This little kid, less than he's like, you know, two or less, he's saying, 'Good morning, Mr. Big.'" So I said, "Good morning," and I shook his hand. His grandmother is standing there. He said, "You know, I have taught him. He must not address adults by their name. He must say Mr. So and so." Imagine. Mr. So-and-so. And today we have Muslim kids. The father says something, he says, "Oh, what's that?" He's talking to his father. La hawla quwwata illa billah. Please, don't fall into stereotypes. Don't fall into stereotypes. Go meet people face to face. Right? Talk to people face to face. And you will be surprised that the world is not such a nasty place as we like to think. There are good people everywhere. We need to meet them. We need to talk to them. And they will be surprised, inshallah, if they find you as a good person. They say, "Oh, this is what we used to think about Muslim. But, you know, here's a Muslim. Here's a live, warm body, Muslim body. And this person is different in a positive way from whatever stuff that has been fed to me through whatever social media that I'm following." This is what present the beauty of Islam through your behavior, your manners, and also open yourself to the beauty of other people and other cultures and the people who follow them, who live them. Go meet people face to face. That is the way to do it. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes and to keep these conversations going. The idea of telling you all of these things about AI and so on is not to, you know, frighten you. It's not to say that therefore shun every piece of technology. That's the fastest way of destroying yourself. Because if you say that, you know, "I'm afraid of drowning, therefore I will never go. I will never sit in a boat. I will never go on the sea." Well, that is an option for drowning. But supposing you were living on an island and you had to go, you know, across the water for every need of yours, then the only option you have of not drowning is to learn how to swim. Not to say I will not sit in a boat, because you have no choice. And that's where we are living. We are living in a place where we do not have choice. So we need to learn to deal with it, not to run away from it, not to hide, not to say, "Well, you know, I'm going to homeschool my child completely, and therefore I will protect my child." How long will you do that? Teach your child to live in the real environment, in the real world, to deal with real people. By all means, homeschool, no problem with that. But make sure that their social skills, their communication ability, their conflict resolution ability, their ability to deal with people and so on is developed, and it is at a high level, because no matter how much you want to protect them, one day they are going to be on the street, one day they are going to deal with people, one day their success or failure in this world will depend not on how much they know, not on the knowledge that their heads are filled with, but with their ability to deal with people. That is the single most, that is the single most important skill or ability that anyone can have. John D. Rockefeller, if you don't want to believe me, believe Rockefeller. John D. Rockefeller famously, he said, I will pay more for the ability to deal with people than for any other ability under the sun. And the man was right, right? So therefore, please, let us do this thing, inshallah. Keep the conversation going. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to save us from that which does not please Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.